Welcome to Perspective Transformation Radio, enjoying its 10th anniversary, often the number one live airing broadcast on Blog Talk Radio, and reaching a global audience of over 185,000 listeners. During this hour-long interview-style program, you'll meet Perspective Transformers, who come to share their most pivotal, life-changing insights and aha moments, offering you instant access to life, leadership, and God-loving seismic shifts of your own. We encourage you to invite friends to join you here now or share quotes with attribution and also reach out to our sponsor, womenspeakers.com. Womenspeakers.com is the most popular online connecting place for Christian event planners and Christian women speakers since 2002. I'm your host, Marnie Swedberg, and I encourage you to grab a notepad and get ready to meet today's Perspective Transformer. Hey, welcome back. This is Marnie. Excited to have you with us for the hour. We're going to be talking today with Kim Avery about the topic of being a prayer-powered entrepreneur. During this next hour, we're going to talk about five powerful ways God is working to grow you and your business, how brief, B-R-I-E-F, prayer can be the best effective kind of prayer, the key to being unhurried in all you do, the danger of believing I am enough, how to see answers to prayer every single day, and a super cheap, super easy tool that will supercharge your prayer life and grow your faith. Our guest today is Kim Avery. She's a certified business coach and the author of the best-selling new book, The Prayer-Powered Entrepreneur. She helps Christ-centered entrepreneurs build businesses successfully as they partner with God to change the world. Her website is Kim Avery Coaching. Welcome to you, Kim.
Thank you, Marnie. It's so good to be here.
Well, I'm excited to have you and I hold your book in my hands, and it's just so, so well done. Just wow. I just love it. I love everything about it.
Thank you so much. And I appreciate your contribution too, if I can just add that.
Well, I love your ministry. In the past I've been part of one of your 31 days of prayer. And wow, really super powerful. And I love how you focus on prayer in the business world, in your work day, in everything we're doing. And you are such a model of that. You are one of my real life heroes. So I just love you and welcome you today.
Thank you.
Okay, so we are going to be talking about how to incorporate prayer really into the core of our businesses. And for those of you who have speaking ministries or women's ministries or whatever, just go ahead and just let's talk about business, ministry, mission work, whatever it is you're doing, whatever it is God has you doing for work on planet Earth, is we're going to count all of that under this same umbrella here. So Kim, why don't you start us off with the five powerful ways God is working to grow you in your business?
All right, I'm happy to, and I'm going to start with a true confession. Most of the lessons I'm going to be sharing today come from what I've done wrong at camp and, you know, what God has taught me from that. And I have to say, in my business and in my ministry life through these many years, I didn't realize all the different ways that God was working. And so one of the things I did with my prayer life was I would pray for the results I wanted. For example, if I'm a parent, imagine praying, you know, I want my kids to marry a Christian man, and I want them to go to this college, and I want them to find a career they love. And I did the same thing for my business. I want to get clients. I need to make this kind of income. I want to have this kind of impact. And then what do? You sit and you wait and you wait. As if a parent were waiting till the kids were 5, 10, and 15 and saying, you know, I don't see God answering these prayers. And what I realized was that when I pray only for the results that I want, I miss out on so much of what God is doing in the process along that. And so as I went to Scripture to really understand why my prayers for my business didn't seem to be effective, I realized that He most often wants to grow our business, our ministry, our influence, first by growing us. And so He taught me how to pray not just for the results, but also from the inside out. So the five ways I've really seen Him working in my life and the way I want to cooperate with Him in prayer is first in me, who I am. It's not all about what we do. It's about who I am. And then out from there, think of concentric circles. What is my relationship with him? If I really want to see certain results, then I need to pay attention to my relationship with the CEO of my business and my life, which is God. And then my relationships with others. As a ministry worker, as a business person, I'm interacting with these people God's called me to serve, and he wants me to have certain kinds of relationships with them. And then from there, what about the relationship I have with my business as an entity? Am I showing up disciplined? Am I showing up focused? You know, am I really doing the things that he teaches us in Scripture are make a powerful business? And then lastly, yes, of course, I do want to pray about the impact and the results my work has in the world. So I realized when I pray from the inside out in all five of these areas, I can see God working powerfully every minute of every day.
That's so cool. Yeah, let's dive into this just a little bit more too, because I think that we're in such a goal-centered culture. You know, we all set the goals, and there's nothing wrong with that. I feel like, you know, the Bible is very clear about, you know, make a vision, write it out so that the runner can run, so that you know what to do, where to go, what to do. But I so agree with you. And what I've experienced so many times, and maybe you can relate to this, Kim, God will set, I'll have this dream or this vision, and it's way out there, and I'll just go running toward it, you know, just with Jesus and running toward it with all my might. And I get pretty close to achieving it, and he'll say, hard right. And I'll be like, no, it's right in front of me. It's right there. I can see it from here. And I'll be like, hard right. And I've always wondered, you know, why? And finally, I came to peace with that, because he knows how to motivate me. And if he would have told me where he was really taking me, I would have probably said, I'll get to that when I can. But because he put a certain vision out there in front of me, he knew that I would run hard toward that. And it used to really bother me that I didn't get the results that I wanted, you know. And even some people listening right here are saying, in business, you have to get the results. So what do you respond to the person who has experienced some of my hard right-hand turn situations? Didn't get the results they were looking for, but much further down the road than they were when they started.
Yes, I would say there's probably no one listening who has just gotten straight away to the results. Because God's ways aren't our ways, and his thoughts aren't our thoughts. And so one of the people who comforts me is I think about the journey of the Apostle Paul. He was called, his unique calling was to bring the gospel, particularly to Gentiles, to all the known world, places that had never heard of Christ before. And where did he spend the majority of his ministry and missionary life? In jail. In jail. That is a crazy place for God to allow someone to be whose calling is to go to the entire known world. But here we sit in retrospect, hindsight, and think, oh my goodness, if he hadn't been in prison, would we have Colossians and Philippians and Ephesians and on these beautiful letters that he's written, most of them prison epistles. And so such a blessing. So there is a yes, set a goal, go towards it as much as you can, but we have to be open-handed and open-hearted and trust our Father that when we take that hard right, it's not that necessarily that we did anything wrong or we heard anything wrong. It's just like, oh, this was unexpected, but he has a plan here too.
Right. Yeah, I really love that, to just incorporate faith as the foundation of everything. And then to, I always use that analogy of the open hand. I'm forever putting my dreams and my ideas and my hopes and all that in the open hand, and then lifting it up and saying, your will be done. You know, instead of, the alternative is to really clamp your fist around whatever idea or hope or dream that is, and to hold it so tightly, and that causes actually pain. If you clamp your fist down tight and you hold your hand in that position, that's actually really painful. It doesn't take very long at all, and your hand is in pain. And God knows that. He wants us to realize that even though it feels precarious to trust him, it is the safest place that we could ever find ourselves.
And his results are actually so much exponentially better than anything we thought or dreamed. And so once you experience that once or twice, it's almost like, okay, this is a hard ride, but I know it's an adventure that's going to end up in a really good place.
Right. So true. So true. So you actually use the acronym of BRIEF, a brief prayer that can be the most effective kind of prayer. What does BRIEF stand for?
Oh, so this came to me again. All the mistakes I've made in my life are going to come out in our conversation today, Marcia. This unspoken, I think, unrealized preconception that I had that my prayer life needed to look like other people's prayer lives. And so some people have the gift, and there's certainly times for deep times of prayer and fasting and intercessory prayer with great cries and tears and doing prayer walks around the city and all of those wonderful things. But I would look at people whose prayer ministry was primarily that way and think, listen, I'm called to build a business. I've got to worry about the bottom line. I've got to worry about the people I hire. I've got to make ends meet. I've got to come up with marketing strategies. And so I always felt this disconnect and guilty about my prayer life because it couldn't be what I imagined it was supposed to be. And so the Lord just really laid on my heart at a point in time when I was discouraged about this idea of brief prayer. So yes, it does mean praying briefly in some ways, but each of these letters stands for something. So I would love to unpack it for your listeners if I can go through it briefly.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
Okay. So the B to me started out with business related. And as you said, it can be ministry related, whatever your calling is. Because I tended to have this secular, sacred mindset, like this great divide. I could pray about my relationship with the Lord. I could pray about my family. I could pray about the world. But then I went to work. So I gave it this nod, but now I'm working. And it was almost as if I left God at the door of my office because this was a secular thing. You know, I'm working. I'm balancing budgets. Does God really care about how much money I make each month? And of course he does. He cares about everything. And so I needed to talk myself through the fact that don't leave him at the door just because you can't do deep hour-long prayer. Bring him in to my business and pray throughout the day. So the first one was business related.
That's so cool. Yeah.
Okay. So going on to the R then, it was relevant. So when I think of relevant in my business, here was, again, prior to doing this study through Scripture to understand how to better pray for my business, my prayers were like this: Lord, bless this business today. Lord, bless my client, Bob. You know he needs help. And then think about it, Marnie. I get to the end of the day, and did God answer the prayer? Did he not answer the prayer? What did that even mean, bless this business? It was a global request, and I realized if I wanted to see and God working and build my faith, I needed to pray on a granular level, not just the global level. So it would be looking at my calendar and saying, okay, I've got a conversation with Bob today, Lord. Help me to be a good listener. Help me to be self-forgetful, and help me to hear how you're working in his heart and life. And at the end of that conversation with Bob, I know whether God's answered the prayer or he hasn't answered the prayer, and I missed God in it. But when I bring every specific attitude, activity, and engagement of every day to the Lord throughout the day in relevant prayers, my faith is built because I see God working in all the small places of my business life.
Yeah, I use the analogy of the dolphin. So the dolphin is a water dweller, but an air breather. We are earth dwellers, but we're prayer breathers. So the dolphin can last approximately 5 minutes underwater doing its daily work without going up for air. Otherwise, it starts to suffocate. We can last a few minutes without going up and tapping into God's power for air through prayer. And so that brings it down to this brief prayer as being the breath of life. This is how we breathe. This is how we move. Every time that I feel anxiety, every time that I feel excited, every time that I have a question, all of these things that usually trigger some kind of a response, a reaction, are calls to prayer. And so as we begin to bring these things that just come into our lives in the day, as we begin to just lift them up to Jesus, and even if you would call it an arrow prayer, some people just call them arrow prayers, where you know, you don't have time to sit down and really have a long conversation. What you do have time to do is you have time to go up to the surface for a breath and then go right back at it. And these relevant ones were, in this moment, you're lifting it to Christ, and then you turn around and you think, look what God did in that short conversation. I mean, so many times I've had situations like that where you just look back and can't believe what God did in a couple minutes worth of time.
Oh, and that just the acute awareness you have of his deep love and involvement in every area of our lives.
Right.
I love that picture of the dolphin. That's just beautiful.
Cool. So what does I stand for?
So the I stands for the inside out, and we already talked about that a little bit. You know, instead of having this results-only orientation, how can I pray in cooperation with the way he most likes to work, which, again, is first in me and in my relationship with him as my boss and my CEO, and then out from there. And one of the things I did when God kind of sent me on this hunt through Scripture where really, like the disciples, I said, Lord, I'm just a kid again. Teach me to pray. I have no idea what I'm doing. With this prayer life, I realized there are so many things that we can pray for with confidence because he has promised already in Scripture to provide those for us. For example, I don't know whether he's going to provide a certain income for my business, whether that's in his will or not, whether he wants me to get a certain contract with someone or not in terms of my business. But I do know that he wants me to always be fueled by joy, to always be permeated with peace, to always rely on his power and not my own, to be bold, and he's got provision for that, to be resilient and committed. And so one of the things I did is God had me writing this book, The Prayer-Powered Entrepreneurs. I searched Scripture from beginning to end and thought, what are the things that every business person needs, every person in ministry, every speaker with a calling or a message, that God has promised in advance. He also wants this for us. So we know he's working in this, and we can look for his work in this area. And I put those things kind of in this 31-day prayer journey. And then each day, I like to just pick one. So, for example, today I might pick experience God's love. And as I pray all through the day that I would experience his love, I can look and all of a sudden see all the ways he's showing me his tender, loving care through a note from a friend or a phone call. Anyway, I get all excited about this, but when I pray from the inside out, the way God works with us, I see answers to prayer all day long, every day.
You know, and I think that is kind of the difference, is whether we're going to be grateful for that or whether we're going to take advantage of that and just go on as if it never was a gift. Was it God or was it coincidence? And I love the word God incidents because God is blessing us all the time, whether we're aware of it or not.
Right. Oh, always. And they have shown, right, the power of gratitude. So God teaches us in Scripture that we're supposed to praise him and give thanks all the time. And now brain science is showing how that actually rewires our brain and changes us into more cheerful, grateful, happy people. So God knew all along what was best for us, didn't he?
Of course. Of course. Okay, E.
E. So E is expectant. So we're acknowledging that God is always at work. And here's the key. Even when things are not what we'd hoped. So as you said, sometimes things take a hard right in our life. I mean, there's certainly been periods of my time, I share in the book, you know, a two-year period where I barely left my bed because I was so ill. That was not on my plan. But even in my daily prayers, for example, I remember one time that the Lord would, I've been praying for a while, Lord would help me be more humble and more teachable, more humble and more teachable, because, you know, I tend to get out there and think, I've got a good opinion. I think I'm good to go. And then I got this gentleman offered to critique this podcast that I had been doing. It was kind of a startup podcast, and I was trying my hand in the podcasting waters. And so I got the critique back, Marty, and his letter started this way. Whenever I give people feedback, I like to start with something positive to say. And I thought, oh, good, this is going really well. And then his next line was basically, I couldn't find a single positive thing to say to you. And it was just scathing. If I hadn't been praying for a humble, teachable spirit, I would have been devastated and never tried podcasting again. Instead, I saw that as for what it was. It was an answer to prayer. It was a difficult answer to prayer, but it was an opportunity to say, okay, Lord, this is hard. I'm not sure what to do with it, but I asked you to make me teachable, and even though things aren't going the way I thought they would, this is actually you answering my prayer. You're making me who you want me to be if I choose to respond appropriately. And so whether people say, but God doesn't always answer prayer. Well, yeah, he does. He just doesn't always say yes. Sometimes he says no, and sometimes he says not yet, and sometimes he says a different way. Right. But he is always working. And so when I take everything that happens in my day and see his hand in it, it just makes such a difference in how I respond to it and, again, how much it builds my faith and how much he loves me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have something I created during a webinar I did several years ago called the Godly Wealth Expo, and I created a document that I call the Wealth Roster. And on the left, you write down what you're asking for. And on the right, you write down what eventually you've got answered. And in the middle, there's two sections. There's the yes and now section, and there's the no or later section. underneath, you just circle what applies in this situation. So if I'm asking for, let's see, I'm asking for the healing of my brother-in-law's cancer. That's what I'm asking for. And if God responds yes now, what will I learn? And I would learn the amazing power of God. I would learn faith. I would learn gratitude. I would have all kinds of good things going on there. But if he responds no or later, that I'm not going to heal him now, I'm going to heal him when he comes to heaven. If he responds that way, what am I going to learn? I'm going to learn patience and long suffering. I'm going to learn faith through the trial. There are benefits that we can have from either or. It's not like there's only one answer that can draw us closer to God. The bottom line is, I love this E, expectant. The bottom line is to expect that God is going to give the very best response possible. And I envision him, you know, managing the workings of the entire universe. And it's not just about my little prayer, even if my prayer isn't little, even if my prayer is huge, it's a little prayer compared to all of eternity. And so he has got everybody's well-being in mind. This is such a bigger picture than what we have. But the expectation that he is a good God and that he is going to bring good, even if it looks terrible, even if it looks absolutely terrible.
So true. I love that exercise. That's so powerful. You're almost deciding in advance, kind of back to your picture of an open hand, that however he answers this, I'm affirming that he's good and he's in charge, and that's the place for him to be.
Right. It's back to your numbers one and two in your five ways to see God working in you. Number one, working in me, and number two, working on my relationship with him, you know? Mm-hmm. But those are the two core. Those are the two core things of how we're going to draw closer to him and see him more in our everyday lives. Okay, we're spelling out the prayer word brief. B is for business related, R is for relevant, I is for inside out, E is for expectant, and F?
It's for frequent. Yay! So no longer leaving God at the door, but inviting him in. Yeah. And the way I think about this, Marnie, is let me give you an illustration. If Warren Buffett were to say to me, Kim, I want you to be the best investor on the planet, and I'm so invested in you, I'm going to pull up a chair right next to yours all day, every day, and if you need a resource, a connection, wisdom, advice, smarts, I am here. You just turn to me. And if I turned my chair to my computer and ignored Warren all day long.
Every day,
crazy,
yeah.
Right? Because he knows everything, and trust me, you don't want to invest with me. I know nothing about your money. But here we have someone exponentially a billion times better than Warren Buffett, who knows everything, holds everything. But I go about my business day so easily and just forget to turn to him and say, what's your resource? What's your solution? What's your advice? What's your wisdom? What would you do? Where's your patience? Where's your love for this difficult person? And so the frequent is, yes, I may not be doing a prayer walk around Chicago like some people do, and God bless them because they have blessed me. but I can still be a praying business person by engaging in frequent prayer with my CEO of my business and my Lord all day long, every day.
Yeah, I love that. I used to, when the kids were little, I tried to get up earlier ahead of them to have a quiet time with God, and it never would work. They kept on just getting up earlier and earlier. And I just, at one point, I just gave up and I said, you know what? I am not going to try to get up earlier. I am just going to say that you get the top 10 minutes in my day, whether that's when they go down for naps or whatever that is. The first 10 minutes I have of my own in any given day belong to you. And that was just an amazing freedom to do, because whenever I had those first 10 minutes, I would just sit down with Jesus, and oftentimes that would turn into an hour or two, because not doing it because I had to do it, doing it because I longed to be sitting with him. But what that did is it forced me to develop a breathing relationship with him, because I didn't get to just have that first thing in the morning, you know, fill up of my gas tank, because I couldn't do it that way. So instead, developing habits that, like, and even to this day, I don't even open my eyes. I'm talking to God before I open my eyes. Good morning, Daddy. And I'm saying the Lord's Prayer and personalizing it every morning with God before I even get up. And then as I get dressed, you know, put on the spiritual armor as I'm getting dressed physically, getting dressed spiritually. And just all of these frequency, these things that we develop, you know, and we have this wonderful habit of praying before we eat. But there are 1,000 more opportunities during the day for you to connect with God meaningfully as you go through your day and keep him present in every moment of your day, which I didn't know how to do for so many years. It was decades before I figured out that it wasn't that I was supposed to pray without ceasing, as in never stop thinking about him. It was, I'm supposed to pray without ceasing, as in how the dolphin breathes. Mm-hmm. Whenever you feel stress, trauma, excitement, nervousness, a concern, a question, whatever you feel anything like that, that's Jesus knocking on your heart's door saying, come up for air. Let me talk to you about this from my perspective. And the beauty and the benefit of living there.
Well, and again, not imposing how someone else's walk with the Lord looks like in your life. I often think of that example Jesus gave in Scripture where people were putting money in the offering as they were going into the temple.
Yeah.
And the disciples were so impressed, right, with all the money that the rich people were putting in. And this widow came in and put in her little mite. And Jesus said, now she's given more than everyone.
Right.
And when I work with coaches and other people who are building businesses, I often joke and talk about widow's mite marketing. It's so easy for them to think, oh, but I can't market my business for 2 hours a day. I'm already working a full-time job, and I have a family, and I can't do this. And I said, you know, God is not limited by your schedule and your availability. It's widow's mite marketing. All he's asking is that you give what you have. And to him, that's more than enough. And that's what you were saying with your devotional time. He wasn't saying, okay, this retiree can spend 3 hours searching in Scripture every morning. Marnie, you need to do that. He's saying, give what you have, and I will bless that. And it's just such a beautiful guilt-releasing concept, isn't it?
It is. And he, you know, any point in our lives where we are feeling guilt and condemnation, we have to just say, okay, this is not from God. So what is the truth here? What is the truth here? And the truth may be that the Holy Spirit's convicting you, but that doesn't feel the same as guilt and condemnation.
Amen.
The conviction of the Holy Spirit is more like, come closer. Whereas guilt and condemnation is go hide in shame. You know, you should be ashamed of yourself.
And that is a
really big difference in how that feels. And even the intent in the heart of it is just so, so different. So just know God loves you and wants to spend time with you, wants to have you benefit from prayer. That's why he calls us to do it without ceasing, is because that's where he knows we'll be the happiest. So we're going to move on to doing things without being hurried. I want to tell a story. I don't have a clue what you're going to say here. But before we go into it, I want to just tell you a story about one day I was running. For several years, I managed a retail store, 12,000 square foot retail store with 12 departments. And then I also managed our family restaurant. And I also managed womenspeakers.com And I was homeschooling our children at that time, finishing up the high school years. I know. So talk about running. So this one day, I was literally running. I was running. And that wasn't the only day. But this one day I was running and I thought, God, I don't think I ever saw Jesus run in the Bible. So I think that this must be sin. So I'm sitting here. And right away, he brought to my mind the story of Philip and how the Holy Spirit actually transported Philip from where he was to near where the Ethiopian was riding in a chariot so that he could lead him to Christ, so that he could explain the plan of salvation to him and lead him to Christ. So I had this picture of the Holy Spirit transporting Philip, but for some reason in that story, he didn't put Philip in the carriage. He put Philip a little distance off, and so Philip had to run to catch the carriage. Now, why would that story be in the Bible? And the only thing I can think of, and God just comforted my heart that day that was so busy, is he just said, you know, sometimes you will need to run. You need to run. There are other times when you need to run, but it is not your normal, average, everyday mode of operandi, is running in a panic from thing to thing to thing. So let's talk about an unhurried life where everything isn't a big panic.
Right, which is, I think, one of the most common characteristics of an entrepreneur. The two things that I run into in myself and the entrepreneurs I work with all the time are hurry and worry. We live in a crazy world. It's a busy world. There's so much stress and so much pressure. And so our way of filling the gap, you know, is to hurry, right, to get it all done, and to worry that it's not going to get it all done, or how am I going to get it all done? And so we're worried and we're hurried. And I kept thinking, this just, like you said, doesn't seem like how Jesus would approach this, or what is going on. And I ran across a verse in Scripture, which, do you know how sometimes you're reading the Bible and you're like, wait a minute, that verse wasn't in there before?
Yeah, right, like jump off the page. Right.
Yeah, it's like, but did you put that in there just for me? And so this is from the English Standard Version, and it's Isaiah 28:16. And here's the verse, I'd never seen this connection. It says, whoever believes will not be in haste. And I thought, what in the world is the connection between belief and hurry? And I realized that much of my hurry, which is not the same as, like you said, hurrying because your child's drowning, or hurrying because, you know, there's legitimate hurry in life. But hurry that was a sign I was living my life apart from God. Internally, so much of my hurry was acting and believing as if it's going to be, it's up to me. Or God's not giving me enough time to do what he said to do, so I have to seize whatever I can. Or my tasks have to take priority over this relationship right now. Or I need to say yes to everyone. And so there were these false beliefs that were causing me, and often cause entrepreneurs, to be in haste. Because here's the truth. There will always be more things to do than there is time to do it. Always. Mm-hmm. But here's the truth. God knows, right, that we can't be in two places at one time. I am not God. And he doesn't expect us to be. So he knows we're not going to give everything done. This is why there's grace. And so I realized that I don't need to hurry, because it's really not all up to me. If I can be fully present and unhurried with what's in front of me at each moment and genuinely there, basically, God's saying, I'm going to take care of the rest, Kim. Why are you worrying about what's on my plate? Take care of what's in front of you. And it's really transformed the way I approach my business and I approach people in my businesses. I really don't need to hurry.
Mm-hmm. Right. So the phrase I adopted years and years ago is, there's time to do everything God wants me to do. So there's not time to do everything. There's not time to do everything good. There's not time to do everything everybody else wants me to do. There's not even time to do everything I want to do. But because God is God, there absolutely is time to do everything he wants me to do. And so there's so much comfort in that.
It's actually transforming. Some of these truths that mm-hmm. you know, revisited on my hunt and learning how to pray for my business as I went through scripture have always been there, and they've actually always been in my mind, and I've known them. I realized a lot of what I was doing, Marnie, and I don't know if this is true for you, is I really just wasn't taking God at his word.
Right.
I could say, yes, God's got that covered, but if I believed that, wouldn't I have been behaving differently? And so much of this was just a call back to basic, you know, if he says it, he means it. Just believe him on these simple little things, and it's that childlike faith that it makes my life so much easier when I don't overthink things. Yeah.
And I think just to be okay with the journey too, I look back and there was a time, probably 15 years ago now, it was a long time now, but there was a time when I was praying for money again as an entrepreneur. And you guys know, as entrepreneurs, you know, I mean, that's it. You don't have a paycheck coming unless, you know, unless you earn it. It's like a very different from working for a company. Whereas the owners of the company are the entrepreneurs, not you. They will go without a paycheck before you do. So as an entrepreneur, you have this happening, and, you know, times were really tough. And I was just in my room praying and praying and praying about money a lot, just a really lot. And there came a day where it just was a kind of a conviction in my heart that I was praying about money more than I was praying about souls. And I thought, okay, right. Something's wrong here with my focus. And it was just all part of the journey. It was, there's no condemnation that I should have understood that sooner or anything. There was just this gentle awareness that if God was responsible for all the souls in the whole world, do I think he could also maybe make ends meet financially for our family? And the answer was, of course, yes. And so I totally agree with you that a lot of the worry and hurry comes from a lack of faith. It just is, it's part, and we move from faith to faith. But it's just one of those dashboard signals on your vehicle. And when it's flashing red, you know, okay, I need a little more perspective on this particular angle of things. I'm not at peace as much as I'd like to be. I'm still really struggling with this. So yeah, I love that. I love that. And the next point we wanted to talk to about is the danger of believing that I am enough. So one of the things that everybody struggles with is there's a whole set of phrases that's in everybody's mind. I'm not enough. There's not enough. God's not enough. It'll never be enough. I'll never be enough. And there's all of these phrases that some of them play for us over and over since I don't know where they came from, but everybody's got them. But there is also the danger of needing to be enough, of needing to have you be your own all in all. So just talk to us about that for a moment.
Yeah, this is really typical. And in some ways, I realize for a lot of people, it's just semantics. But in other people, it's a core belief. And I think when we get to the core belief level, it's really important. So out there in the entrepreneurial world and in the marketplace, you know, you will hear a lot of people urging us to believe that you are enough, that you can do this, you are enough. And the intent and their heart in that is really to be encouraging and to shore me up and help me move forward with courage. But it actually has the opposite effect, because I'll tell you the truth, Marnie, if I look in the mirror and I look in my heart and I look at what God has called me to do today, I am not enough. I am not smart enough. I am not strong enough. I'm not skilled enough. I'm not connected enough. I'm not resourced enough. There is nothing in me that's enough. And so our brains actually recognize when we're trying to talk them into something that's not true, and it fights back. You know, and it just, that core misbelief goes deeper. So to keep telling myself, looking in the mirror, Kim, you're enough, Kim, you're enough, when my brain's like, sister, you are not enough, I finally realized that embracing the truth that I am not enough was one of the most freeing things that happened to me. So imagine, as it were, this gap. Think about a graph, like with a straight line at the bottom and then a diagonal line going up. And so there's this gap that starts out small and gets bigger and bigger. And so that was me every day, you know, trying to do everything I thought God was calling me to do for him instead of with him. But anyway, for him, you know. And so there'd be this gap, and I didn't know how to handle a certain client problem, or I didn't know who to connect them to, or I just didn't have enough energy to make it through the day. And I came up, and I realized there were three ways, if I thought it was all up to me, that I was trying to fill that gap. Excuse me, bridge those two lines. And the first one was just determination. I start, you know, through sheer brute strength. I'll break down every barrier, and if it's going to be, it's up to me. And I may or may not gut it through that day, right? But it wounded my spirit along the way, and it doesn't last for long because I do run out of energy. So then I would try to fill the gap other times with denial. So first there was determination, and then there was denial. It was like, I had this feeling, if God called me to do this, it's just going to magically work out, and clients will just appear at the door. But during those times, I'd wait and wait and wait for those magical clients to come, and they didn't come. And so denial that I am enough and it's just going to magically work out didn't work. And that led to my third D, my poor coping mechanism, of despair. All right. Surely God didn't intend this journey to be this hard or to take this long, so he must right. not have intended me to be a coach or to be an entrepreneur after all. I heard him wrong. You know, and I would give up, and I see these three coping mechanisms in my clients all the time, the determination, the denial, and the despair, because the truth is we're not enough. And then it just hit me one day that that's a wonderful thing. Because he is. And so one of my favorite verses is 2 Corinthians 9:8. It says, listen, just listen, Marnie, to all the superlatives in this verse. I've never even counted them. There must be half a dozen or more. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. I mean, it just goes on and on. So there's grace. I'm not enough, but that's wonderful because now I look to him and there's grace. There's grace. And so grace fills all the gaps. And so while I was trying to fill those gaps through my determination and my denial and my despair, all I needed was, oh, I'm not enough, God, but you are. And so where's the grace for this? And that's just a much, much better way.
Oh, absolutely. It's Paul's, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And there was one day that I was really frustrated with God. I was kind of railing at him and he wasn't doing what he promised. And I was really upset and I was in my room and I was really upset. And he's like, James 4:14. In my spirit, I just heard James 4:14. I'm like, I don't know James 4:14, but I know James 4:10. You send me there a lot. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. I know. But it wasn't James 4:10. And so I grabbed my Bible. And the first words of James 4:10 are, you do not know the least thing. And that cracked me up so bad. I was just laughing. And I walked out of my room. I'm saying to every family member as I see him down the hall or whatever, I don't know anything. I just want you to know I don't know anything. But, you know, there's just this huge relief when you recognize that it's not all about you. You don't have to come up with everything. You don't have to be everything to everybody. It's okay. There is a God and he's not you. He's in you, but he's not you. So you're okay. Just be who you are. Love that so much. What is the key to seeing answers to prayer every single day?
Oh, yeah. And so we're kind of almost synthesizing everything that we've talked about to this point. Just remembering, first of all, that Christ is with us. Matthew 28:20, one of the very last things he said to the disciples before he left was, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And so there's a couple things here. One, remembering he is with me. Number two, remembering that he is for me. Right? Jeremiah 33:3, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. And so as I pray, I remember with faith, he's with me, he's for me, and then he will give things to us. And we just talked about that. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you having all sufficiency in all things. And then lastly, when I cooperate with him and pray from the inside out, right? And know that he's not just trying to transform my circumstances, he's working on transforming me, and that's a difficult job, you know, it just is. I can have joy even in the journey. One of my favorite verses is Psalm 16:11. He said, "You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever." Mm. And so as we live this expectant, frequent prayer life, praying in conjunction with the way he likes to work, we don't have to wait till the circumstances line up or the results come that we think we want. We can see him answering our prayers all the time, every day, and have joy, even when we take that hard right turn that you were talking about earlier.
The joy that's available walking with Jesus is so supernatural. Kim, I see it in you. I mean, you've just experienced one of the hardest, I'm sure the hardest year of your life, and your joy just radiates, and there is no possible way that you can be standing up, let alone exuding joy like you do, without the power of God in your everyday moment by moment experience.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah.
God is so faithful. So what is your super cheap, super easy tool that will supercharge our prayer life?
All those supers. And I think I'm going to start almost kind of on that the note that you just brought up. I didn't know whether to say anything or not. So I'm just going to share briefly with our listeners because I think this is really important. Prayers don't always get answered the way we want, but they always do get answered. And about 6 months ago, it was August 3rd, I was in my prayer time in the morning, and the super quick tool I want to talk about, and the reason they're super cheap, is just a literal 3x5 card, right? A literal 3x5 card. I have a deck where I just write down my prayer requests, and I have, you know, one for every member of my family, for my business, for my clients, you know, and I track God's journey. And it's just so amazing to go back years and think, oh, my goodness, I prayed that, and look at what he's done. So overall, just to give perspective, but I want to go back to August 3rd. I opened my scripture, and I'm just reading through the Bible at my own pace, but, you know, as I always am, and of all the providential places, I happened to be in John 11 that day. And so John 11 is talking about Lazarus being raised from the dead, and those who are familiar with the story know that Mary and Martha came and asked Jesus, you know, please come, and our brother's very ill. And it says in John 11, Jesus tarried because he loved them. And so I've got it right in my Bible in front of me right now. I drew a big heart around the word love, and I thought, wow, when he tarries, that's love. Such an interesting thing. And then I kept reading and going through John 11, and, of course, we know that he does let Lazarus die, and then for greater glory comes back, and he raises him from the dead. And, of course, another part of my favorite part of that chapter is Jesus weeping, taking the time to weep with Mary Martha, even though he knew. But back to my 3x5 cards. So this is what I wrote down. Happy sunshiny morning, your average August 3rd, 2019. Lord, give me a heart like Mary. 2, love you so much, I give you my all. 2, I sit at your feet to listen and learn. And 3, I trust your plan even when days are dark. So this is my prayer request on a bright, sunny day. And by the evening of August 3rd, we got the phone call that our beloved daughter had died in her sleep from a brain aneurysm. And if God had not been building in me this heart to look and watch his hand at work every day, knowing that what I read in scripture in the morning has to do with what happens during the day, what I write on my prayer card 2 years ago that I hope God will develop character in someone I love will be answered 2 years later through this circuitous route that I never saw, but so much better than what I dreamed. When I can trace his answers to prayer for months and days and years at a time, I can look at those dark days, such as when my daughter passes away, and think, I wrote that morning I had no idea. Yeah. Here's my prayer request. I want to trust you when the days are dark. And the day got very, very, very dark. And he had prompted me. Do you see that? He doesn't just answer my prayer. He prompts my prayers. He tells me what to pray so that he can answer them. And so we have this good, good, good Father that sometimes I don't understand the choices that he makes, but I know him and I know his heart. And so I've just found over the years that if I just do something simple, like write down on 3x5 cards or for people in a journey and keep track of what he's doing, I'm just not shaken by the winds of life that blow ill and blow good my way. I know that he never changes and that he really is working all things for good.
So beautiful. And thank you for sharing that with us too. I know when your daughter passed away, it was my first grandchild's birthday was coming up within 2 weeks of that. And you, of course, had your little two darling twin boys, your daughter's children that she left behind then. And boy, did that ever hit me hard, Kim. I just can't even tell you. And I really struggled. I struggled because oftentimes I'm able to find something good. I can say, well, I can see how God could bring good out of this, or I can see how God could bring good out of that. But with your situation, I was having a hard time seeing how God could bring anything good out of this loss. But I saw you. I saw you just stand back up and keep running for Jesus in his power and for his glory. And I am just so amazed at your faith and so grateful for your life. Sorry. Yeah.
No,
you guys
got
a little heavy. It got a little heavier, but it is a little heavy. You know, life is kind of heavy.
Yeah.
I just finished the several drafts in, but the first readers have the manuscripts for two of the three books in a trilogy called Heaven. And the first book is about heaven and the second book is about hell. And talk about heavy. I mean, these are real heavy topics, and God calls us into deep waters, and he doesn't call us there so that we can try to stand up on our own and try to be brave and try to figure it all out. He calls us there because he knows that when Peter's walking on the water, the only way he stands up is if his eyes are on Jesus. As soon as his eyes are on the waves, he's under. And it's no different with us. And you guys who are listening, and I know that God allowed this conversation to go this way today because you're feeling it. You're feeling like, okay, if the coronavirus or whatever it is, today, you know, if it keeps on going, it could ruin my business. It could ruin the economy. It could ruin whatever you have going in your life, just on an individual basis. There's a lot of fear that can come, but the reality is that we have the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit protecting us from fear and from evil. And so we can trust that God will bring good out of everything, no matter what it is, and that he will carry us through. Kim, have you adopted like a phrase or a scripture verse or just something that comes to mind frequently since the passing of your daughter?
What helps me most, I think, is, and I'll probably cry when I share this, is the astounding truth that God willingly gave up his child so that I could spend eternity with mine. And I'm so humbled and grateful that I have a God who would do that I can only be thankful for that kind of love in my life.
Yeah, you can you can so relate because you didn't have any choice about it.
No.
And he did. He knew in advance, and he said yes. And for such a wretch as I, and so we are so blessed by this God. Well, wow, okay, thank you.
Sorry, I didn't mean to make it heavy.
You know,
because
you did
it's good.
Yeah, it is good, and I think this was so important. And actually, you know, I was talking to people before we got to this interview today about me interviewing one of my greatest live heroes, and she's you. And it needed to go here because I think that we think sometimes when we've got our eyes all about the goal or all about the outcome or all about what we want and what we expect, then when life comes in and blindsides us, it can just really cripple us for a long, long time. But what I see in you, my dear, is I see that your faith has grown to the point where life did blindside you completely. And you, through Christ, are able to stand and to walk and to go forward and to even release to the world this amazing book, The Prayer-Powered Entrepreneur, the same year. I mean, this is amazing. This is amazing. This is supernatural peace, supernatural joy, supernatural energy. And I am just so grateful to you for modeling that for us. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank the Lord. Yeah.
Yeah, thank the Lord. That's right. You guys, I want to make sure that you follow up with this. Her book is called The Prayer-Powered Entrepreneur. Her website is Kim Avery Coaching, and Avery is A-V-E-R-Y, KimAveryCoaching.com. Kim, when people go over there, what are they going to find?
Well, I would almost encourage them to go instead, if I can, to prayerpowered.com.
Oh, sure.
So because if you go to prayerpowered.com, along with seeing the book, you will also have the opportunity to take the free prayer quiz. And so what I've done is I've realized that, again, as entrepreneurs or speakers, writers, people just with a message or a ministry in the world, for each of us, there are certain areas in our life, our business, that really would benefit more specifically from certain prayer and prayer attention right now. And so I've developed this fun, it's not hard to take, a prayer quiz at prayerpowered.com. So you'll find out about the book and how that'll walk you through a 31-day prayer journey, super easy. It's like a devotional book, right, Marty? Just a short reading and a specific prayer request each day. But also I would encourage them to take a free prayer quiz and find out what area of your life would benefit from some prayer and get some tools to help you do that.
Yeah, and it is, it's a prayer journal, but it's so much more than that. I mean, you have stories of entrepreneurs in here about their dream and their struggle and the unexpected God-sized results. There's so much variety. It's not just like an empty book full of pages for you to journal. It's nothing like that. It's very much of an interactive mm-hmm. handbook to guide you through prayer for 31 days to build your business. And then, of course, you can go back through it over and over and over. keep learning and growing.
So many people do. That's the fun, and the funny part is we realize that, oh, I did that for 31 days, and I've just begun to plumb the depths of the goodness of my Father. I think I'll just start the book all over again. So it is a good experience of prayer. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, this hour has flown by. You are my treasure. I love you, Kim Avery. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's been a blessing, my friend.
And you guys, thank you for being here, and can't wait to share these Wednesday afternoon programs with you. I hope that you will follow up with Kim over at KimAveryCoaching.com or PrayerPowered.com, PrayerPowered.com. Check out WomenSpeakers.com. We've got over 1,000 speakers available there for you for your upcoming women's events. And, of course, my hub is Marnie.com, M-A-R-N-I-E.com. If you go to radio, you will be able to find what's coming next week, as well as all of the archives, which we've got them separated there for you at Marnie.com. We've got them separated for you by author training, speaker training, media and marketing training, and women's ministry event planner training. So you can just go right directly to the programs and look at the titles and see which ones might work out best for you. Thanks so much for joining us. Hope you have a wonderful week. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.